My name is Garland Robinson. Do you realize there are people that don't believe in hell? I know for those of us that believe the Bible, have always respected God and depended upon what He said, we cannot begin to fathom the idea that there are people that think God is non-existent or think God is calloused and hard and a fiend because the Bible speaks about hell. But when we look at that, we need to look at the fact of the character of God. What does the Bible say about that? How can we know the character of God? Well, the answer is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verses 11 to 13. There we read where Paul shows that God revealed Himself to us in words which the Spirit teacheth. That is, the Holy Spirit teaches us what God wants us to know. Well, what does the Spirit tell us about God's characteristics? Well, for one, it does tell us that in 1 John 4 and verse 8 that God is love. We read in Hebrews 1 and verse 3 that Jesus is the very express image of God the Father and that He is holy and righteous. Acts 3 verse 14. The Lord admonishes us to be merciful even as our Father is merciful. Luke 6 and verse 36. So we can safely conclude that God is good. God is loving, God is just, He's holy, and He's merciful. But that is not all there is to the characteristics of God. There are other characteristics as well. As we look back in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 35, we read, "To me belongeth vengeance and recompense." That passage is used again in the New Testament in Romans 12 and verse 19. There we find that Christians are exhorted to forego their own personal vengeance, give place to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will repay, saith the Lord." The passage is used again in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30 and 31. "Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will repay, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge His people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." So, friend, if we're going to believe the Bible on the one hand, that is, that God is loving, then we're going to have to believe the Bible on the other hand. Notice the severity of God, the justice of God, the fact that God will one day reap vengeance of His own. When man sinned in Eden, God drove him out in Genesis chapter 3. God was and is love, but He still drove man out. When Cain killed Abel, God banished him, and Cain's cry was, "This punishment is more than I can bear." That didn't alter God's sentence that He had given upon him. If we want to see the characteristics of God, then we can hardly overlook what God reveals to us Himself. Hebrews 12:29 says, "God is a consuming fire." Friends, eternal punishment is the promise of God. That's not my idea. That's not just something I believe. That is what the Bible says. Now notice, very few like to meditate upon the teaching of God's Word about eternal punishment, but it's still there just the same. The judgment scene pictured in Matthew 25 is spoken of by Jesus when He says of the wicked, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." John reveals in Revelation 20, when he says, "The dead are judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. And if any was not found written in the book of life," notice what the Bible says, "they were cast into the lake of fire." Friend, judgment is certain, according to Hebrews 9, verse 27. But God doesn't force anyone to be saved. He does not force anyone to go into eternal punishment. That is a matter of choice. Each one chooses. God puts it out before us to choose good, but we also have the right to choose evil. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, Joshua said to the people of his day, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Well, God has always allowed man to make his own choice. That's the freedom we have in Christ. He'll not force us to be righteous. He does not force us to be wicked. That choice is ours. We make that individually. That's the reason Jesus urges, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." We read in Matthew 7:21 that Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And those that who do not do that will be cast out into a lake of everlasting fire. But that's our choice. That's your choice. That's my choice. So what's so often overlooked is that God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4. That's why He sent His Son to die for us. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 3:16. But notice, why did Christ die? He died for all, that they that live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto Him who for their sakes died and rose again. 2 Corinthians 5:15. So God wants all men to be saved. Jesus died for all men, Hebrews 2:9. But all men do not avail themselves of that opportunity. They don't make the right choice. And they end up going to the bad place, that place called hell, a place that burneth with fire and brimstone, because that is a just and righteous punishment that God will mete out to them. Now, what is that place like? What is hell like? Too many people willfully close their eyes to what God teaches about it. But the Bible says it's a place of punishment. Matthew 25:46, "These shall go away into everlasting punishment." Included in that punishment is pain. Jesus said that the rich man, the one we read about in Luke 16, he lifted up his eyes being in torments. Oh, he was in anguish. He said, "I am in torment in this flame." Jesus spoke of the time when His angels would gather the wicked together and cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 13:42. And in Revelation 14:11, we read, "The smoke of their torment goeth up, ascendeth up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest day or night." God clearly points out the pain of hell, but He also points out that we can avoid it if we will have faith and obey Him. The Bible also describes hell as a place of darkness. The man who hid his talents instead of using it heard this sentence, "Cast out the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Note the last phrase in that statement. The furnace of fire, weeping and gnashing of teeth, outer darkness. Again in 2 Peter 2:4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and committed them to chains of darkness, pits of darkness." And when the man of the marriage feast was cast out as well because he didn't have a wedding garment, the Bible says, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him out into outer darkness." Matthew 22:13. Friends, God is light. And to be separated from Him means to be in outer darkness. Desolate, frightening, painful darkness. That is what the Bible calls hell. Some would question whether or not hell is really a place of fire at all. But if it's not, why did God say that it is? That's exactly what it's described throughout the Bible. The rich man was in anguish, torment, he said, in this flame. Luke 16:26. Jesus said the wicked would go into everlasting punishment, everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. The wicked are to be cast into a furnace of fire. Matthew 13:42. When Jesus returns, it'll be with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. John states the devil is cast into a lake of fire in brimstone, and then adds, "If any was not found written in the book of life, he is cast into the lake of fire." Revelation 20:10-15. "Such will suffer as the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever." Now, what kind of place is hell? Jesus said, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9:48. Now really, how could God have said it any other way? How clear and how plain is that? The Bible also reveals that hell is forever. That means it's eternal. It's never ending. That's what the Lord said in Matthew 25:41 and 46. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. So ever how long the righteous live, that's how long sinners suffer punishment. Because the word is identical. The same word means everlasting, eternal. And again, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. Revelation 14:11 and Revelation 20:10. There's no escape, no pardon, no parole, never ending, forever and forever. We need to remember, hell is eternal. It is eternal fire. It's prepared for the devil and his angels. It's not prepared for me, for you. But we will still go there if we choose to not obey the gospel. If we choose to remain in our stubbornness, in our waywardness, in our sin that we have committed against God. And that's the way it will be, because that's God's promise. Hebrews 6:18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. And so when God says that the unrighteous shall be cast into outer darkness, and that will be a place of eternal punishment and flame, then that is accurate, because God is the one who made us. God is loving, God is caring, God is righteous, but sin cannot exist in His presence. That is the place called hell. Why don't you believe? Why don't you repent, confess, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, to be forgiven, that you might escape that place called hell and be able to go to heaven? That is our request, our prayer. Won't you do that?